This Easter season is another time for us to peek into the many details that are in the Bible surrounding not only the passion of Jesus Christ leading up to the crucifixion on Friday, Good Friday we call it, but also the events that followed the cross and Christ's death that led into the rest on Saturday and then the resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. But my particular intrigue over the last 2 weeks in studying this topic was particularly, and it had to do with the reason that I was in the Bible. My particular readings this last couple weeks have been in the Gospels, Matthew and Mark in particular. So I read this account twice, and then I went out to Luke, and I jumped ahead of my normal reading, and I read it again in Luke, and said, well, this has to be here for a reason. So I'm going to tell you what that is. There's going to be one particular issue we're going to look at, that most of the details are around Good Friday and the crucifixion, but some follow into Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. And in particular, it's going to be one word that's used in the Bible and many different accounts we're going to read that have it in there. And it's about the women that followed Jesus Christ from Galilee. And the Strong's number is 1135 in the Greek, and it's translated as either women or wife. In the New Testament, it's both. It goes both. It's just as many times each way. There's a lot of translations in the New Testament of this word, 1135, Strong's number. But in particular, we're going to read the accounts where it has to do and is translated as women. And we're going to try to understand the spiritual meaning of the fact that there were women from Galilee who followed Jesus Christ down to Jerusalem and ultimately witnessed his crucifixion and were there to also witness his resurrection. So the first account is in Matthew 27. So I'm going to break right into it in verse 50 in Matthew 27. And in verse 50 we read, "And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." So we see here it's Good Friday, and it's around 3 o'clock in the afternoon when Christ has died on the cross. And down in verse 55, we read, "And many women," and there's our word, the 1135 Strong's number that we're going to focus on today, "and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee." So I want you to take note also of the fact they were from Galilee, "ministering unto him, among which," so in other words, there's a lot of women there, "among which a few are named, and that is Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of Zebedee's children." So two things to note. One, the word women, and there were many of them. And number two, they came from Galilee. They had followed him from Galilee, and they ministered unto Jesus as he came into Jerusalem at this particular time and juncture. Well, let's pick up the same account and see why I was intrigued with that phrase in Mark chapter 15. Mark 15, verse 39. So again, we're going to break into the account because we're going to read it in three different Gospels. Mark 15, verse 39. There we read, "And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God." So once again, we're just taking another look at a different gospel account of Good Friday and the crucifixion of Christ and his death right around 3 o'clock that afternoon. Now, verse 40. "There were also women looking on afar off, among whom," once again, there we see "among whom." So there were women, and there was only a few are going to be named. It's not just that there were a couple women, but there were many women. We saw in the other account in Matthew. "But among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Less and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee." So there we see from Galilee again, "they followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem." So once again, we're focusing on the number 1135, Strong's number, which is translated once again, women here, and they're from Galilee. So we want to focus in on that particular issue and study this and understand it spiritually. And that's the whole key. The goal of this study is to understand spiritually why this account is reiterated three times in three Gospels. And what does it mean? Well, the third and final account we're going to look at is in Luke 23. How is it worded there? In Luke 23, verse 46 will begin. And it says there, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women, there's our number 1135 strongs again in the Greek, that followed him again from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding these things. So let's take a look. Once again, we have in verse 49, there were acquaintance. His acquaintance was there. The women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, and they beheld these things. So they were witnesses to his crucifixion. Now jump over to verse 55, same chapter, and then we pick up again these women, the same Strong's number, 1135. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee. So again, it's reiterated over and over again. These women are from Galilee. Followed after and beheld the sepulcher, how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So they came from that Friday afternoon around 3 o'clock when Jesus died. And remember, Joseph of Arimathea had begged the body of Jesus from Pilate. So between 3 o'clock in the evening, the ladies here, these women from Galilee, returned to their homes, most likely, or to wherever they were lodging, I should say. And they prepared spices and ointments. Then they rested on Saturday, from Friday evening all through Saturday. And we'll pick up later the account when they came to the tomb on Sunday morning. And that starts in Luke 24. But so let me pause here. And from the preface that we've looked at, we're looking at the word women, these many women that followed Jesus from Galilee. And they were witnesses to his crucifixion. Interestingly enough, in the Bible here, I've noted a couple things that are of import. Number one, it doesn't talk about men. Why? Why were not men there? What happened to the apostles? What had they done? They scattered. All right, so interestingly enough, we see that these women from Galilee had followed him. And unlike any other type of a king, because remember that earlier, that the previous weekend on Sunday, we call it Palm Sunday, Christ came in to Jerusalem triumphant on the donkey, and they were laying palm branches before him, saying, Hosanna to the King of Israel. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So here was this king, but these women were no harem like a king normally has. We know that. So why does the Bible talk about these women? I mean, why is it in the why is it noted? And it's very interesting. I think God's trying to, and I believe he's attempting to teach a spiritual lesson here. And that's the whole goal of the study, is to understand it. Why is it mentioned three times very similarly? Many women followed him from Galilee, and they witnessed his crucifixion. All right, well, let's see if we can develop it. And the first place we're going to look is the word Galilee, the fact that they were from Galilee, they knew Christ from Galilee, they came from Galilee to this Passover and to Jerusalem with Jesus Christ and witnessed his crucifixion and resurrection. Let's go to Acts 13, verse 28. We're going to try to understand Galilee a little bit more here. Acts 13, verse 28. And we're going to read to verse 31. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. Remember, that was the women were the ones mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who are his witnesses unto the people. So I want you to focus in on what it says about these people that came from. Now here it's not mentioning women; it says those that came up with him from Galilee. He was seen many days of them. But what are they? These people who came from Galilee are his witnesses, as we see here in the post-Pentecost account. So these women from Galilee are typified here now as witnesses. So I think immediately we get the sense that the people that came from Galilee had a particular closeness to Jesus Christ, and they were such so that they were now his witnesses to others. Now, in this account here, it insinuates that there's men included. But again, interestingly enough, the males are left out. It's just them. But in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it says women. Many women from Galilee came and followed him. Well, I think that to further develop the thesis here that this Galilee represents those who are his witnesses, those who were very close to him, and we're going to see how close shortly. Let's go to the very first miracle that Jesus did, and interesting enough, it was in the land of Cana of Galilee, right? So let's go to John 2 and see if there's more meaning in this than perhaps perhaps I once thought. Maybe you already know this, but we'll see. John chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. They're short, so stick with me. It's very important. And as we go through each verse, I'm just going to mention a couple sidebars. Verse 1, and the third day. So immediately my antenna goes up. The third day. What does it remind me of? The resurrection. You can either stay there and let me read it, or if you want to follow me, Luke 24, verse 7. Because remember, these women in Luke 23 followed him. They witnessed his crucifixion. They went and prepared spices Friday night. They rested Saturday. They came very early to the tomb. And Luke 24 talks about the first of the Sabbath, very early in the morning. They came. And it was they, the women, from verse 55 in the previous chapter. They came. And in verse 7 of Luke 24, remember that the angels had said to them, the Son, remember here, they said he's not here but is risen. Verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So again, I just want to tie that together. The third day rise again. And here they were Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. So let's go back to that miracle in Cana of Galilee. The third day. So I just want you to notice that relationship. Okay. Now, verse 1, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Now, again, I want to focus on the word marriage. Take note. Does anybody remember what I said? That Greek Strong's number 1135 is translated either as women or wife. Very good, Brad. Wife. So here we have a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Why does it open up and on the third day there was a marriage? Well, third day of what? The third day of what? Again, I think it's in there for a reason. I think it's there to help us understand these women who came from Galilee, who were at the cross witnessing Christ's crucifixion and ultimately his resurrection on Sunday. So here we have this marriage in Cana of Galilee. So it's in Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Once again, why is that mentioned? Do you ever wonder why it talks about his mother being there at that first miracle? And well, what did all the accounts say in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about these many women that came from Galilee? And among whom was, Mary would be mentioned. And Mary Magdalene, and then Mary, his mother, was mentioned in a few of those accounts. So once again, we see we're tying this back to this first miracle of 3.5 years earlier or so than the account of the crucifixion. And what we see is that there's a marriage on the third day, and the mother of Jesus was there. It's really, really, to me, pointing to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. Let's go on. Verse 2, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. To the marriage. Now, again, I want you to notice the word marriage. And the word that we're studying is women, and sometimes it's translated as wife. So verse 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. All right, what's the wine make you think of? The Last Supper, Thursday night. Remember Jesus, what did he say about that? Let's go to Luke 22 and pick up. What did he say in Luke 22, verse 19? That this is right the night before, his very last meal before the crucifixion on Friday was Thursday night's Passover. And Luke 22, verse 19 says, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. So you see? There we have it. I'm going to go back to John 2. This marriage, they wanted wine. And I'm pointing to the Last Supper when Jesus was talking about the cup was his blood, which he shed the very next day. From the time they put that thorny crown on his head and platted it on his forehead and around his whole head, to the spear being cast into his side and the nails being driven into his hands and feet, all the blood that he lost and gave up his life. So, okay, they wanted wine in this John 2 miracle account here. And the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Again, what does he mean by that? My hour is not yet come. Well, that's a good 3 years later, at least 3+ years to go. Because when was his hour come? Yeah, at the cross. That's right, at the cross. So here we are pointing to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. His mother in verse 5 said unto the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now, I'm not going to develop this, but you know, what is it? What have we always thought this meant? And I still think it's in the passage. The 6 water pots pointed to what? The 6 days of creation. So I still believe we're focusing on creation here, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Jesus said in verse 7, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast hath tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto them, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Everybody thought Moses was the greatest prophet, right? The Jews still think he was the greatest Jewish Hebrew person ever to live. They discount Jesus Christ. I had a talk with a Jewish friend this week at work. Talked about Jesus a little bit there and what I was going to talk about today. Moses. Everybody in the Jewish race thinks Moses is the greatest. Now, that would be keeping with this. You know, Moses and then every prophet got, you know, a little less in him, you know, grandeur and ability and things like that. You'd have like your ups, not ups, and I shouldn't say it that way, but you'd have your peaks and valleys of miracles that were done perhaps. But here we're saying, but you've kept the good wine until now. So the ultimate prophet who was typified by Moses and every other one that went after him was Jesus Christ, right? So he kept the good wine until now, the very end, and he was the last one. Remember John the Baptist was, he said, there's no greater man that's lived than John the Baptist. And then, of course, Jesus was followed 6 months later in birth, and when John the Baptist's ministry was done, which was to announce Christ, prepare the way, make the paths of the Lord straight, then Jesus Christ was the final, the ultimate. This beginning of miracles in verse 11, did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So I want to go back to those 6 water pots, and I really do think that they symbolize creation, the 6 days of creation. But what does this have to do with these women, this marriage, this idea of the cross, and these women were there witnessing? They had come from Galilee. Well, I think it has to do with who these women represent, who these women represent. And I want to take a look at John 1, verse 1 to 3, talking about creation. Turning water into wine is a creative act. If water was left for the last 11,000, or I'm sorry, the last 13,000 years, it's still not going to be wine today. That was a true act of creation as well in those 6 water pots. But in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Who's it talking about? Who's the person of the Godhead in view here? Jesus Christ, and it's the creation. So it's talking about Jesus was the creator. He did this miracle in Cana of Galilee. He created wine out of water. 6 water pots pointed to the 6 days of creation. But if Galilee, coming from Galilee, is to symbolize his elect. Now I'm going to give you the hint here where we're going with it. His elect, those he came to save, his witnesses, his bride, his wife. They're all synonyms for what I'm trying to develop here. Then what is this idea of why is the creation mentioned in this first miracle? Because all these other things were pointing to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ that we read in the beginning of John 2, this miracle of turning water into wine in Cana of Galilee. All these things kept pointing to 3 years later. Why was creation mentioned all of a sudden, which is pointing way back, 11,000 years back? Well, let's find out. Ephesians 1, I think, is going to tell us. Ephesians 1. That's why that was thrown in there in that miracle account. Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Here's the key, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. So there is the chosen. I'm suppositioning here that the chosen people, the elect, the bride of Christ, are those represented by the women from Galilee who followed him to Jerusalem for his death. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So what do you see there? What is Galilee really representing? I think it's the very beginning of his ministry. Remember the very first miracle he did? But it's all, remember, Mary asked Christ and he said, my hour has not yet come. It was going to be a good 3+ years later. But I think that this miracle is pointing to the fact that the elect, the bride of Christ, his wife, was chosen before the foundations of the world, before he created the world. And those 6 water pots are there. And so coming from Galilee, every gospel account, Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about the women came from Galilee. Women from Galilee. Acts chapter 13 that we looked at earlier. The witnesses who knew him from Galilee. Again, why was that mentioned? I think it's pointing to that miracle of in Cana of Galilee, the first miracle, and the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected on the third day here. You know, that miracle was on the third day in Cana of Galilee. So let's go to that third day, that resurrection then, and see these women. If these women are his elect, they picture his elect. They were there because remember we're crucified with Christ. Again, the men were left out, but the women were mentioned in all 3 accounts. The women from Galilee who came with him, from Galilee, ministered unto him, were there witnessing. They were almost crucified with Christ, seemingly. And in Luke 24, isn't it amazing that none of the disciples, or the apostles, I should say, were there first? Who were the first ones to come to the tomb? Again, it was the women. The women. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first of the Sabbath, very early in the morning, they came. Now who are they? Probably a bad place for a paragraph mark or a chapter marker. Because the they refers to chapter 23, verse 55 and 56. And the women also, which came with them from Galilee, followed after, et cetera, et cetera. They prepared the spices. Chapter 24 doesn't skip a beat, keeps going. And now the first of the Sabbath, so in other words on Sunday morning, they came, the women came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. We just read it in the prior chapter. And certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And here's the thing I want you to realize. How many of us think that on the resurrection Sunday, they only had maybe 2 or 3 women came? Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, came. That was it. Or just 3 women came. But again, we're insinuating here, and certain with them. So these women came, and others with them. It just so happens to be that the accounts we read of Sunday, Easter Sunday, just talk about Mary Magdalene approaching Christ, grabbing him by the feet, and the other time when he said, touch me not, and then and Mary, his mother, being there at the tomb. But there were others there, too. It just so happens to be that there are only a few mentioned. So they found the stone rolled away, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee. When he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So I really do believe that these women are representative of the elect of God, the chosen, the bride of Jesus Christ. And the word women, not surprisingly, the 1135 in the Strong's in the Greek in the New Testament is translated a lot of times as wife, which I really think locks it in. These women are a picture of his wife, his bride, his true elect. They came from Galilee. I always wondered, why was that mentioned? And I really wondered it the last 2 weeks when I was studying this. That's what hit me. Why these women? Why was it mentioned women were there at the cross? Women came to the tomb first. Well, let's look at 4. Let me just prove it. 4 places where it's translated wife. Just don't take my word for it. Matthew 1:20. And we'll see there. This is about Joseph. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. It's the exact same word, women, that we've read in the gospel accounts and we've been looking at in the resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, when the women came to the tomb. It's the same word, but obviously it's aptly translated here, wife. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So you see how it's used as the word wife there? Let's go to another one, Matthew 5:32. Clearly it's got to be translated wife. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, it's the same word there, 11:35 in the Greek, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. So there's the word wife. It's in the context of marriage. Makes sense. It's translated in a good way there. But you see how the word can be used interchangeably, well, not necessarily interchangeably, but it's translated both ways. So it kind of gives us a real clue as to what it means spiritually. Matthew 27, a third one. I said I was going to give you four. Let's go to the third. Matthew 27, verse 19. And this was Pilate's wife. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife, that's Pilate's wife, there's the word wife, the word women, 11:35 in the Strong's, sent unto him saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things to stay in a dream because of him. So there it is, a wife again. And one final look is in Luke 17, and this one is about Lot and his wife, Luke 17:32. That familiar verse, it's a short one, but it's a great, it hits you right in the heart, especially today as we approach the end of time. It simply reads in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. And that means, it's only three words, but it means 3,000 things. I mean, it's a lot of importance there. But again, it's for a different topic, a different day. Remember Lot's wife. There's our word again, women. So here's what I want to bring out in conclusion with this study. The women that came from Galilee and followed Jesus Christ to Jerusalem for this Passover, his final one on this earth, I really believe represent the elect, his bride, his wife, those chosen before the foundations of the world, as seen in the first miracle at Cana of Galilee and all the language that surrounds what these women did, not only on the crucifixion of Good Friday, but what these women had, the part they played in Easter Sunday morning, being the first to the tomb. And ultimately, the consummation of that marriage, the consummation occurred right there as Christ was crucified on Good Friday and then resurrected on Easter Sunday. Remember Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And that has the insinuation of, like in marriage, that ability for a bride and a wife to finally have relations when they're married. And then in another account, though, we see that Mary Magdalene did grab him by the feet. The consummation of that marriage was accomplished by Jesus Christ on that glorious resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. So today, if you are a saved person, if your sins are forgiven, you can rejoice like these women did when they first heard that he's done. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's resurrected. He accomplished, he did what you've been hoping for all the while you've known him, which is he's the Messiah. He's your king. He's your husband. He's your savior. And what a glorious truth, I believe, is in the scripture about these women, the many women from Galilee who followed Jesus to Jerusalem to witness his suffering, his resurrection, and then to be his witnesses to the rest of the world. May all of us in this room today, if we're truly chosen of God, be effective in our witness to tell this great story to others, that other women, other brides may be brought into the fold for the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the one and only. Amen.